are going to begin a new series called Seasons of Love, okay? And obviously, tomorrow is Valentine's Day, and I know a lot of you are kind of looking forward. Everybody has their own version of how best to spend the Valentine, and some will plan for your breakfast. And for me, Valentine's Day is the best day. I bring my wife out, I watch a violent movie, all the killings and blood splitting over, walk away. Yeah, okay. For my wife, her version of Valentine is I walk the mall with her, you know, push the cart and, you know, hold her hand and et cetera, you know. So every one of us kind of have an imagery of what Valentine is all about, okay? And I know that love is in the air, and what we wanted to do this year was to ride on the month of February to talk about love. But we're going to talk about love a little bit differently. So this is a message series about God's heartbeat and design for love. All of you know that the Bible tells us that God is love. So which means that honestly, you cannot talk anything apart from God about love. Because God doesn't just have love, but He is love. All of us have a component of love that comes with hatred, jealousy, you know, whatever, anger, right? You have the whole bunch of bulk of emotion. But the Bible says that God is love, which means that God doesn't know how to do anything apart from love. He doesn't know. Because everything that He does is really out of love. And so we're going to look at the Bible and walk through a little bit of the concept of love that God is trying to impart. And actually, the weightage of love is really huge in the Bible. If you take love out of the equation, the Bible is literally a very empty book, but it is a book full of a picture and metaphor of how much God actually loves us. Okay, so now, but today we're going to cover agape, which is what we call the unconditional love, the kind of love that loves someone, not because of what you can do, but because we love, and therefore because He loves, and then we learn how to love. All right, so a couple of different pictures. This is Valentine, where people fall in love and where flowers are at the most expensive and, you know, et cetera, et cetera, okay? The other picture of love I can think of is Jabgome, where all the girls will throw and, you know, and then guys will pick it up. And so the more you throw, the more possibility, kind of a cultural thing. With all the COVID, you got to do a e-tsapgome throwing, and I'm not too sure how does that looks like. And obviously, I've not done that because when I fell in love with my wife, she gives me more than orange. I'm just kidding, okay? And but that was an easy, you know, just the only girl I ever fell in love. I dated her, then she sedated me. The rest were history, okay? But I want to begin today by telling you a love story, okay? There was quite a special love story that I kind of stumbled upon. It's a story of a Chinese couple from Chongqing. And the man fell in love with a girl, and obviously he is way much younger than her. So fell in love with a girl that's about 12 to 14 years older than him. And being in a Chinese culture, it was very uncommon. And that's very, very true. In fact, when I was going to study in USM, my dad has a piece of advice for me about love. My dad is someone that doesn't express a lot, besides feeding us and, you know, just providing for us. So just a couple of weeks before I went to Penang, my dad called me. He says, "Hong." And I'm not too sure, maybe it was persuaded by my mom that dad needs to say something about, you know, me going to Penang. And then he says, "You will fall in love." I said, okay. And then he says, "When you fall in love," he says, "two things you must promise me, two things. Number one, must marry a Chinese." Okay, a bit racial, okay, but being very China, you know, minded, must marry a Chinese. Okay, yes, that, you know, like how many percentage Chinese? No, I didn't go there, okay. Marry a Chinese. Number two, never marry any girl older than you. Okay, he said, "Okay, yes, Papa. Okay, yes, you can go to Penang now." Okay, so that's that little stern and daddy's kind of advice for me. So this story was really this man who fell in love with this girl, and there was such an age gap apart. And because of the little gossip and the being marginalized by the society, they decided to move to the mountains. And so you saw the little letter, they call it, was actually for 50 years, he cut out 6,000 steps of letter so that it helps the wife to move up and down the mountain. So it's called the ladder of love. So when he passed away in the arms of his wife, and the government knew about it and began to preserve this spot and make the story known to the public, of because of his willingness to serve the wife, that he carved out 5,000 steps. So compared to doing laundry, it's nothing. Then the other story that I read was really a middle-aged, actually a bit advanced already. He went to a place where people learn how to do makeup and insisted all the girls to teach him how to do so, and they couldn't understand. After much persuasion, and he finally told them, he says that I wanted to learn how to do makeup was because my wife had an accident and she went blind, and ever since then she couldn't do makeup. And it robs her of the confidence of going out, and I wanted to learn this so that I get to serve my wife. You know, every time you hear stories like that, right? Love stories like that, how love is being expressed, it always moves your heart. It always help you to walk away with that little, I wish I get to experience some part. I wish I get to do some part. And I want to tell you that in this series, I hope that we all can get to do some part of it. Which is why I kind of carve out a little, I don't know how to call it, but a little statement. And the statement is called, Love Unlocks All Doors. And I want to give both an exaltation and a challenge for us that in this four-week series, as we talk about love, and I want you to think about love unlock all doors. Maybe in your mind right now, there is a closed door. Maybe it was a door closed because of a relational tension you had with your parents, and where you don't talk anymore, or where you had friends, that colleague, that because you felt they betrayed you, they backstabbed you, and you were so angry and you wouldn't want, or you got neighbor because they parked their car 1 inch into your space, or they threw rubbish in front of your house and you were so angry you threw back rubbish, and then you ever treated them as rubbish from that day forward, you know what I'm saying? And maybe in this series, you can come before God and say, God, I pray that in this series, you are able to help me to unlock a closed door. And it may not even be a closed door. It may be a brand new door that God wants you to open. I don't know. It might be someone that you walk in and out every day through that same route, and you saw someone that's in need and you don't even know how to approach the person, and for months you wanted to do something and you don't even know how to do it. And maybe in this series, remember that love unlocks all doors. And when you think about that little statement, you think about Jesus, you think about it was because of his love for you and I that the Bible says that Jesus came to seek and save the lost. And because of his love, he unlocked a brand new door of salvation for each and every one of us. So in this series, as we kind of talk through each weekend about God and the way he designed love, and love in different intensity and context and scenario, I dare and I challenge every one of us to come before God and say, God, in this season, I pray that I am able to unlock a door, that I'm able to serve a certain category of people, or I can be healed and reconciled of a certain scenario, so that God, the love of God, has no closed door. Okay, good amen. All right, so love unlocks all doors. All right, let me just kind of walk through with you culturally. Culturally, love is a feeling. So everybody, which is why we got people who fall in love and fall out of love. Because for them, love is literally a feeling. Today I love you, tomorrow you look different, I don't feel the thing anymore. And no matter how we say it, some of us say, no more fate, 没有缘分, and no matter how we say it, but literally we are trying to tell someone that I no longer love you, because love in our culture is very much a feeling, which is why you got people fall in, out of love, people who plan for marriage and never happened, people who married for 2 months and then decided to move on in their life. It's all because we think love is a feeling. Number two, love is used loosely in our culture. We say loved in everything, right? I love the weather, I love durian, I love to play sport, I love my wife, I love pizza, you know what I'm saying? So we use love very loosely. That's because of a linguistic limitation. But later when we look at the Greek culture, it has different expression of love. All right, we'll come to that shortly. And number three, love is most sought after. I'm trying to say that in our culture, everybody is looking for love. Everybody wants to be loved. Everybody go around all looking for love. And I will never forget, as a pastor, many years ago, I led someone to Christ, and after a couple of about 6 to 8 months, it was midnight, about 12 to 12:30, I received a call from this particular individual, and the person was sobbing, and the person was saying, "Pastor, I said, can I tell you something about me that I couldn't hold it anymore. I must tell you this." And this person began to share that she's actually a mistress for a businessman for past 10 to 12 years. And begin to review, then because of the complexity of the relationship, she has to leave so-called, you know, in the dark, so to speak, at some moment, was being criticized, was being ashamed of, and there were times when she was trying to hide from her identity, and she went through for so long. And when I asked her, I said, "Why did you live such a life?" And then I remember she telling me, "Because I felt he loved me." And story like that, I have potentially personally have seen maybe more than 5 times of different individuals that decided to give their life to someone that is already married because they wanted to feel love. And so we know that in our culture, and for this particular lady, I have to help her to think differently. And I still remember telling her that actually when you come to God, it wasn't you looking for love, it was actually he love looking for you. It was love looking. You don't have to seek after love, but love seek after you. All right, I'll come to that little phrase shortly after I talk a little bit about biblically. So we kind of talk through a little bit of cultural context. Biblically, because the Bible, Old Testament, was written in Hebrews, and the key word for love in Hebrew is hava, which happens to be the most consistent in the Bible, beside another word called hesed. Okay, hesed means a loyal kind of a love, a very merciful. And there were about a couple of scriptures where the word ahava and hesed kind of mixed together. Okay, we won't go there, but in the Old Testament Hebrew, the word ahava. Ahava is like English. It has the word ahava is used in a big spectrum. So you love God, you love food. They use the word ahava. It's a seat of your affection. You're passionate towards something. However, ahava has a clarity. It's ahava is an action. It wasn't a feeling. So when God says that I love you, he acts upon it. And which is why in Deuteronomy chapter 6, where the Israel have what we call the Shema, which is where they come before God and they memorize the verse, "I shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, your strength, your mind." That Shema, which is what they practice every day, God is wanting us to know, because he ahava us, he loves us in action, he wants us to love him back in action. Which is really the basis of book of Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. When Jesus described, he says the whole law was really based on two things: how you ahava God and how you ahava each other. It's really based on how do you act on your love for God and for people, right? Now, somewhere in the journey, as the Hebrew culture moves on, you've got the Greek culture. Now, when it comes to the Greek culture, the word love appears in many, many different words, okay? It wasn't just one word. In fact, if you Google about it, you got the 6 words version. The highest I've seen was 9 words version. 9 different Greek words to describe love. So if you love yourself, you have a word. If you love animal, you got another word, love. You go love, you know, so he has so many different words to describe love. So when the Greek culture, first when the Greek author was writing the Bible, and also when the Greek theologian was interpreting the Hebrew Bible to Greek, we call that the Septuagint, all right? Where 70 theologians take the Hebrew Old Testament and try to translate to the Greek Old Testament. It's called a Septuagint. When they did that, they were trying to find a Greek word to best describe this love that God has for us. And they found the word agape. So prior before that, the word agape or agapeo wasn't a very popular love word because it was a love totally another category. It was love that's absolutely no string attached, unconditional. But the moment when Jesus came, this word flooded the culture. Everybody began to understand because agape was a word to describe the kind of love that God has for us. So love is an action, love is a choice, and finally, love sought after us. You know, I thought about one of the characteristics of this love that sought after us is that God is relentless, which means that He never gives up. He never gives in. And no matter how much we reject Him, He pursues after us again and again and again. And I can recall there were moments in my life when I walked away from God, especially when after my Form 5 and because of sheer disappointment with church and all that, you know, I decided to move away from God. And one of the verses really that brought me back to God when I re-encountered God was Jeremiah chapter 13, verse 17. It's not here, but I'm going to read it to you. The Bible says that, He says, if you do not listen, God was persuading or wooing or really reaching out to the nation of Israel. And he says, if you do not listen, I will weep in secret because of your pride. My eyes will weep bitterly, overflowing with tears, because the Lord's flock will be taken captive. And I will never forget reading this scripture. And I just wept bitterly, not bitter. I just wept because I thought about a God that would actually weep for me. And I can never ever imagine if there is any other being that is close to the God that I just described, that when He saw us rebelling, He will weep because that's how much He feels for us. And He says, I will weep in secret. If you can recall the story of Jesus meeting with a young rich ruler, depending lah, could be rich, young ruler, which is more important, young or rich, okay? So when Jesus met with a rich young ruler, I think it was in the book of Mark chapter 10, the Bible says that Jesus told this rich young ruler to sell everything so that he can follow Him, right? Remember that story? But if you read the Bible carefully, the Bible says that when Jesus looked at him and full of love, and then He told him, He says, I want you to sell everything, then follow Me. Did you know that when the Bible tells us, give us that little metaphor, give us that little picture of what is in Jesus' heart. So every time when He comes to you and say, you know what, don't do that. Don't think like that. Don't act like that. You know, it's really out of love. It is full of love. Jesus, look at Him. He says, don't do that. You know, I don't know whether you all remember, but I told this story a couple of times where when my son was very young, it was my first son, Joel, right? When he was 2 years old, he discovered his ear. You know how kids discover things, right? Discover their hand, they're fascinated with their finger. You know? So one day he discovered that he has ear and there's a hole. So what he did was, every day he picked up whatever things and that he can, and he puts into the ear. Every day, you know, just put. So every night we have to put him down next to our bed, and with the torchlight we got to see, wow, what can we find inside? Oh no, you can find rubber band, you can find, you know, every day we go to take out different things, and then he'll put it, and then he'll come to us and says, Daddy, it's painful, you know, and then we tell him, don't do that, and then he listens, and then they go, he'll put it, you know. And I still remember that there's one particular day, I don't know what to do. I sat him right in front of me, and full of tears, I look at Joel, and I cry, I said, please don't do this because it hurts Daddy and Mommy. And on that day, he finally got it. A bit slow, but he got it on that day, okay? He finally clicked, you know, and he no longer do that ever since then. And sometimes I want you to know that we forget that part of the expression of God. It is out of His love that He asks us, He says, live like this, don't live like that, don't do this, because love sought after us. Okay, let me just quickly move on. 1 John chapter 4, verse 10, 12 to 19. Author of John was very unique because he's called himself the disciple that Jesus loved. Not only that, love is a big concept for John. It was John that wrote, for God so love, okay? And if you go for wedding, this little phrase, we love because he first loved us was there. So John was someone that was very intentional, that want to tell every believer how much God loves us. In fact, if you read 1st and 2nd, 3rd John, I think it was about almost 50 times the word love appears. So consider, and he not only tells you how much God loves us, he actually tells us the whole package of love. And this is one of the passages that kind of reflect that. So it says, in this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation, which is a big theological word, but it simply means that he took our place. He became a sacrificial lamb for our sins. If God so loved us, would you read the rest? If God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. He said, we must, because if God so loved us. So he was telling us to help us to understand. He says, when it comes to this whole thing about love, you receive love from God. He says, you ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God remains in us and his love is perfected in us. Remember Jesus in John chapter 13, when it's the Last Supper, where everybody is arguing who is going to betray him and they were fighting for position, all those. The Bible says in the midst of all this, Jesus stood up, put a towel, washed everybody's feet. He was just loving them. He was showing how much. And then Jesus gave him one of the final piece of advice. He says this, he says, because I want you to love one another just as I've loved you. And then he gave that little statement. He says, when you choose to love one another, he says, the world will know that you are my disciple. Remember that? Now, Jesus was really wanting all of us to know, it was the love that we will show to each other is what is going to change this world. He didn't talk about how powerful is your prayer. He didn't talk about how brilliant is your strategy. He talked about what love requires you to do. In the Old Testament is always, what does the law require you to do? What does the law say? Jesus said in the New Testament is, what does love have to say? So every time when you are stuck in a situation, you don't know what to do, you ask yourself this million-dollar question. How does a love respond looks like in this tension? How does a love respond looks like in this office conflict? How does a love respond looks like in my family? How does a love respond looks like in the church? A love respond looks like in the church could be noticing people who sit alone. And just go to them and say, hey, I notice you are alone. Hi, my name is, just want to say hi. Welcome to Every Nation. That could be as simple as that. But that was a love response, right? So God was, and John was wanting all of us to know. And then he says this, the last sentence, he says that whenever we choose to love, he says the love of God is perfected. It simply means that the full expression of God's love is being displayed. And then he has that little phrase, he says, we love because he first loved us. Now, so the way God has designed love, the next slide is, which we're going to talk through as openly as we can. I know my son is asking me, Dad, what are you going to talk about? You know, sexual love, you know. It's going to be explicit, right? And I'm just kidding, okay, that's fine. So, agape is unconditional love. So that's what we kind of start with. Then it's going to be storge, which is really a love in family members. That's the Greek word of expressing that. And then you got filio, which is a brotherly friendship kind of a love. And finally, eros, sexual love. A door that you should not open until it's time to open, right? And the Bible actually talk about that in the book of Solomon, Song of Solomon. So we'll come to that week when we come to that. Now, I want us that in this season, that God is able to use this series to inspire every one of us to unlock a door of love in your life. Potentially some of us, for it was a storge scenario where you needed a storge planted in an agape situation to be able to express that towards your family and vice versa. All right, now, very quickly, three qualities of agape. Number one is, it's everlasting. The Bible says he loved you with an everlasting love. And you have so many different expressions of the Bible, God doing that. And then potentially the most moving was Hosea. When God told Hosea, after dealing with the nation of Israel, for hundreds of years. And then he told Jose, he says, I want you to love Gomer, which is someone who betrayed you and given herself to prostitution. I want you to love her back. In fact, to buy her back from the market, from the human traffic market. I want you to buy her back. And then God says that because that was exactly what is in my heart when I saw the entire nation of Israel and its rebellion. So I want you to know that God loves us with an everlasting love, a love that can never, never change. Number two is a love that is sacrificial. The Bible says that God demonstrated his own love. While we were sinners, he died for us. So it was a sacrificial love. In fact, if you study the book of Romans, in Romans chapter 8, as he went thereafter, it talks about this love of God. Nothing will separate us from the love of God. Nothing. Right? He talked about that love that God has. No tribulation, no anything, pandemic will separate us from. And finally, it is what we call the love that's unconditional. We don't have to do anything to earn the love of God. God simply loves us, and that is the agape love. Okay, I want to end by sharing a quick story. Because of time, love unlocks all doors. I want to tell you the story of Michelle and Soon. Okay, this is the wedding that I did about 3 months ago. Michelle and Dr. Soon gotten married. And during the wedding, I was preaching and doing the ceremony, but I told everybody that was there that when I think about this relationship, it is really a story that was scripted by love. Why do I say so? Some of you do not know, but Michelle is a Sabahan girl, and when she was born, the mom already left her. She grew up with a stepmom in a family of 11 siblings altogether. Life was not easy, but life becomes even more complicated when she was 8 to 9 years old, where the dad passed away. In fact, she wrote a little articles, and in that article, she talked about she will never forget walking into the hospital and seeing the nurse put that clothes or put that white cloth over the dad, and that day of losing daddy, the only one that she ever loved, the one that played with her. And she kind of contrasted life without dad was now I got to do a lot of housework. And so staying in a stepmom scenario wasn't the best. Ever since that happened, 3 years, 4 years down the road, she was then she was sent to shelter, which is an orphanage home, to kind of take care. And part of it is because of economic scale, 11 siblings, it was very difficult, but she was the only one that was sent. That was also because she find it difficult to get along with a step-sibling. And so you can talk to Michelle about all that she went through. And can you imagine, lost the dad, now lost the family, so to speak, and there is such a vacuum of love. There's such a vacuum of who am I, and is there a God, and dad, where are you? And, you know, kind of go through all of that. But it was when she went to shelter that she met Lucy, and Lucy, which is Pastor Victor's mother, which is a person in charge, and Lucy poured her love over Michelle as they took her in. And I started to see life change. And Michelle talked a little bit about when she went there, because shelter has a lot of Indian kids, and she couldn't get along with them, with every one of them. And she needed to learn Tamil to survive. So today, Michelle speaks Tamil, Chinese, Bahasa Malaysia, English. So if you ever meet Michelle, don't scold her. Because she can understand, just in case you thought, you know, she couldn't understand. Okay, she can understand many language. So somewhere in shelter, Pastor Victor, who visited the mom, visited shelter. And Pastor Victor was telling me that how one day he went to shelter, and the way Michelle looked at him spells out everything that she desired. Someone to love her. She desired a fatherly figure. So Pastor Victor then took her in, like his daughter. Pastor Victor and Kelly begin to take care of her. And so because of love, she really have a totally new brand of life. She was in shelter for about 17 years, and before she eventually came out for shelter and started her own work. And somewhere in that journey, she came to KL, came to our church, and then here, behold, we have Dr. Soon, which is has his own personal baggage. Dr. Soon has come to a point where he couldn't love himself. because of the struggle that he had in life, and don't know even how to love another person. Then he found God in this church. And because of the love of God, he started to change. And in fact, when he was making that vow, he had a little statement that signifies it. And he told me, he says, "Pastor, I wrote that little statement, and the statement was, I can never imagine holding a girl's hand. But today, I managed to do so." And I thought about just their love story. It was all possible because love opens every closed door. Every time when you and I choose to love, every time when we and I choose to take love and ask this question, what love, not the way Tina Turner sang it, what love got to do or something like that, right? But the way we applied it, how would love respond in this situation? Every time when we choose to do so, we unlock a brand new door. So I want to encourage you that in this series, don't just come, but walk the way every weekend. Ask yourself this question: what could a door that I can unlock? Maybe for some of you, you struggle to serve. I don't know. Maybe you will unlock a door of serving the kids. Maybe you will unlock a door of serving a particular family. Maybe you will unlock a door of serving a particular generation. They will totally rewrite the script of someone's life. Because every time when you and I choose to love, we unlock a closed door and we open up a brand new possibility for someone. Can I get an amen? You know, as we come before the Lord, I pray, would you stand together even as we close? And then, you know, eventually we go to dialogue, but we're not going to rush there. I want us to take a moment. Neil, is that, you think we can just sing a short song? Is that possible, right? I want us to respond to God. I want us to, first of all, thank God for His love. Because of that, He opened up a brand new door into our life. And I want us to come before God and say, "God, help me to open up a new door where love gets involved." Maybe for some of you, it was a door of forgiveness. Maybe for some of you, it was a door of serving. Maybe for some of you, it was a door of significance. I don't know. That I pray in this season, you say, "God, I want to unlock some door in my life through love." Through love. Let's just worship God. Just kind of respond to God with that.
Hallelujah. I'm in love, and my God, my King, His love is alive. It burns within me. Every beat of my heart will sing. Your love is alive, that burns within me. I'm in love, and my God, my King, His love is alive, that burns within me. Every beat of my heart will sing, and all that I am, Your love's within me. With all I am, with all I am,
that's right.
Oh, I will sing. I dignify the passion for the King. A thousand years and a thousand more, I will delight in You now and forevermore. With all I am, with all I am, Lord, I will sing. I dignify with passion for the King. A thousand years and a thousand more, I will delight in You now and forevermore.
Amen, amen. Hey, this is what I want you to do just before we go. I want you to imagine love like a doorknob. Right, just love like a doorknob. And maybe for some of you, you know exactly a door that you need to reopen. For some of you, you know exactly the door that you need to just open for a new possibility. Okay, so no matter where you are, would you just kind of metaphorically just love like an open door? Right, just hold the door. I'm going to pray, And I want you to prophetically open it. All right, could you just do that? Everybody, just get your hand ready, a doorknob in front of you. And I'm going to pray. I want you to believe God together. And I want you to open a door because of love. Something that you've never done before. It could be reconciliation. It could be repair. It could be a brand new door of possibility. But I want you to do it together with me, okay? God, I come before you. I want to create this moment where in this series, we want to believe for an open door. So I ask of you, oh God, Lord, prophetically, love unlocks all doors. So right now, as a prophetic act, as we end this service, Lord, we pray that you will help us to open a brand new door because of love. We thank you. Lord, we come before you right now, all right? Everybody, just open that door. Just kind of open it, just prophetically. Just do that, Lord. That's right. God, we pray and we ask of you, Lord, let there be a season where there'll be doors of reconciliation, doors of forgiveness, doors of repairing, any relational door, door of purpose, door of vision, door of passion, door of compassion, Lord, that will be open to bless people around us. We thank you. We pray all this in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. 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 Amen.